Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, The Bistro, where we will discuss today's hottest consumer trends, predict the future with consumer experts, and learn how elite businesses and entrepreneurs continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Hello and welcome to the BBB podcast. I'm Sherry Williams, a writer and reporter in Washington, D.C. During rush hour, you may hear my voice on the airwaves guiding you home. Here I have joined forces with the Council of the Better Business Bureau to guide you with your business and consumer needs as we discover and talk through the dynamics of being a consumer in today's marketplace. Today we have Craig Honick, who is a managing partner of Metro Tribal, a story development agency who we have been working so closely with on our own research project that has helped in answering this big question around what better business looks like in today's market. How are consumers redefining this term, and what are businesses doing to oblige? Welcome, Craig.
Thanks, Sherry. It's great to be here.
Today, we are going to delve into the concept of business being a human interaction, or in other words, business as a trust exchange. Before we dive in, Craig, you are an ethnographer and, as mentioned, the managing partner of Metro Tribal. Can you give us a little background of your work as an ethnographer and an overview of Metro Tribal?
Sure. So first, let me just say that essentially what an ethnographer does is studies group culture and documents and understands how cultures form. When we apply that in the business world, we try to understand usually how customer groups behave and why they behave the way they do. So Metro Tribal, the main focus of Metro Tribal is helping businesses trust their product design and their marketing, because we've been doing this a long time, and we found that despite the deep expertise and experience that marketers have, they're often blind to how customers perceive the company's brand and products. That can help sow doubt into the marketing process and what they spend. Because what ends up happening is they end up making an educated guess based on some data they gather, as well as their own instincts. And in the end, spending money on hunches or kind of educated guesses makes people nervous. So it's hard to completely trust a marketing decision. So what we do is we help solve that problem, because as ethnographers, we will go into communities of customers and interact with them. We'll interview them, we'll observe them. And mainly what we're looking for is to reconstruct the story that they tell themselves about the world. So this story that is mostly unconscious guides their decisions and how they interact with the world. It explains how the world works and explains cause and effect of decisions that people make. And that's basically how cultures are formed and perpetuated around this kind of narrative. So once we understand that and validate that story that's guiding their choices, we help companies create their messaging and brand stories and language to match that story, so it fits into the story that they're telling themselves. When that happens, then the company can feel much better that it's trusting its marketing, because it's based almost precisely on the language and story that the customer themselves use to interpret the company brand. And in other words, it's exactly what the customer is revealing it seeks to see and hear. So when we talk about ethnography as it's applied to business, that's how we help unearth this narrative so that the company's brand story or narrative can sync with the customer's narrative.
So you're saying that you have an idea of, for example, a person like me and my habits, and you're looking at overall maybe someone in there between 20s, 30s, 30s, 40s, and you're saying, okay, this is the type of person and what they will buy. This is who you need to look out for when they are looking to market their products.
Well, we usually let a marketer decide how they want to target, because what we're doing actually is we're interacting and observing with somebody like you, maybe in your home, at work, and a lot of people that might make up a customer audience. And then we help the marketer understand, again, that story that's going on in the mind of the customer and how they interpret things. So depending on what that story is may depend on what's most meaningful to that particular customer or customer group. So therefore, a certain product design, certain language and messaging will sync with that customer. So we can break down customers based on what we call sub-narratives, different sub-stories that they might tell themselves, different language that they use, and different ways of kind of seeing the world, and we break those down. So in that sense, we are providing segmentation and market target for customers, yeah.
So it sounds like you're making it, the experience, quite personal. You're helping businesses understand people like myself through a storyline, which is sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. We try to help them live your world, so to speak, so that things make sense to them. So they're not looking at it from the lens, their own lens of we've got a great product, we've got great features, and we think we see that people buy this kind of thing. It's really, if I were able to look at the world through your eyes, now a whole lot of things would make sense, like what I should say to you, what would be important to you, what tweak, a feature tweak I might make that would be really important to you. So that's kind of the idea, is to recreate that view of the world for them.
Wow, that's awesome. Your perspective is that business transactions are human transactions. So using that concept, what is the best way for a business to market to its customers?
Well, what we did for the Better Business Bureau was we spoke to a number of customers across the country, consumers, in their homes. And we spent time with them talking to them about just about their experiences in their own life about working with businesses and buying things and things of that nature. And then we did a survey of 1,000 consumers nationwide based on what we learned in those conversations. And what we learned was that when these consumers describe what is important and not important to them in these business interactions, it comes down to things that are common to human interactions and relationships, and more specifically, respect and trust. So the kind of things that they talk about and the way they describe and frame the interaction, they're really talking about levels of respect, gestures of respect, and what we ended up calling gestures of trust. And we derived 5 different gestures which seemed very important to building a framework whereby a customer might understand or assess whether or not they want to do business with a company. So essentially, we came up with this kind of framework that said if a company displays these kinds of gestures, 1 or more, or all 5 would be fantastic, the greater the chance that I'm going to want to do business with them, because they're relating to me and strengthening what would be a human interaction or human relationship. So these 5 different gestures, I can name them. One was to be equitable, and that is to human relationships are, in a sense, kind of a power relationship. Someone, you know, could dominate or try to get value out of the interaction, is trying to get as much value out of it as possible. When you're equitable, you're sharing that power. So an example in business would be that if you're buying something from me and I'm taking your money before I'm delivering the product, I'm going to give you a very generous return policy, and I'm going to advertise that and promote that and strengthen that. And I'm also going to ask you and encourage you to review your experience with me. That's a way of sharing power. So that's that equitable part. I'm making the relationship equitable. The next one is this idea of being humble, which is showing humility in the sense that as a company, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the customers and if it weren't for infrastructure and important for all these things. So we're going to give back to the community. So good examples of these are getting involved in the community, contributed to community events and charities, and supporting people in the community when they need it. It's this idea of saying we're in this together, and so we wouldn't exist if it weren't for you. So you're showing this humility. When you show humility in human interactions, you gain trust. The next 3 are more familiar. I think in the business language, one is being proactive, meaning identifying issues before they come up, trying to not wait for someone to complain before you resolve something. If they do complain, then you take it very seriously, and all your communication is direct and quick and responsive. And then there's transparency, where you are being very open about your processes. If there's a mistake, you admit it right away. These types of activities and behavior makes a customer feel safe in doing business with you. They always know that if a problem comes up, they're going to know about it and you're going to report on it. So you may generally, with without being solicited, you may report on the processes, how things are going. You might even call attention to some things that have gone wrong and how you've corrected them, so that the customer always knows that you're going to get what's going on and you're going to be forthcoming. And the last one is honest, to be honest. And that is in your language, is jargon-free. You give direct answers to questions. It doesn't sound like you're making something up. So these together, this being equitable, humble, proactive, transparent, and honest, if you think about them, they're very important to all human relationships. And when you think about a consumer interacting with a business, you might put business terms around it, and you might say it's a financial arrangement and that kind of thing. But to the consumer, it's a human interaction. And even more so today, where they have greater choice, they have more intimacy with companies because they can communicate with them via social media, and they have more choices and more information. So it's all the more important that companies treat this as a normal human relationship and human interaction. And that was the conclusion that we came to, going in with a blank slate and coming out with this kind of picture.
And that's some valuable information. So I really actually want to recap that for my listeners here. You're saying that, especially for business owners, to have a great impact on consumers, you want to be equitable, humble, proactive, transparent, and honest, right? Those are our five things,
our five gestures. Yeah, correct.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that one good time because that really is some good stuff. So equitable, humble, proactive, transparent, and honest. I got to remember that. You know, I'm trying to be savvy here. Okay, so even looking at more things, can you please tell us, or let's talk about human relationships and the concept of power distribution exchange.
Well, when you sit down, and this is what we do. So again, to kind of repeat our approach, we ask fewer questions. We do a lot more listening than we do talking, but we're listening for some very specific things. We have conversations with customers or consumers or whomever we're studying. We're listening to the assumptions they make, the beliefs that they have, the values that they have, and social norms that they're operating under. And these kinds of things shape the story you tell yourself. So when we're listening to that, most of those were about power. And when you think about that, and power exchange in a human relationship is where trust comes in. Now, if I take all the power away from you, you're not likely to trust me as much. If I'm willing to give power over to you through being equitable in my policies, by being transparent, by being honest, and humble is a larger signal that you acknowledge that this is a human exchange, and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. So I'm deferring to you. So all of these gestures say to someone, I'm coming to you with open hands, open arms. I'm not hiding anything. All I want to do is bring you value. That secures trust. A lot of businesses get paranoid. They close up. They feel like they're in an adversarial position with a customer. And if you're in that kind of position, the customer's not going to trust you. If there's a better option and a more open and honest and more human type experience, they're going to go for that instead of working with you.
That's really awesome. So just to do a quick takeaway here, because we are out of time, but we could talk about this all day. I could talk about this all day. As far as storytelling, I just want all of our listeners to remember that that's how you can really impact your clientele, your business, by understanding who your profile is, you know, what is the storyline here? And also by understanding, once again, those five things that Craig gave us. I have to repeat it. Come on, class. Equitable, humble, proactive, transparent, and honesty. Remember those things. Well, Craig, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
And was there anything else, any last words that you would like to drop on us before we leave today?
If anyone needs to reach me, they can reach me by email, craig@metrotribal.com. It's strung together, the words, metrotribal.com. We're also can get information on our website at metrotribal.com.
Thank you again.
You just enjoyed the Bistro Podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com, and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.